I'll be your lady.
Really?
Sanctuary. Before you
sing it unto him now.
Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, he tried and true.
With
thanksgiving, I'll be a lady, sanctuary before you.
Amen and amen. To be a sanctuary for the Lord. Is that your desire?
Amen.
If you'd like to turn in your Bibles, turn to Revelation 5. Good to see our visitor back there. We're glad to have you with us. We always say when someone comes and visits your visitor, two times you're part of us, but we say to you, welcome, and just worship the Lord and have a good time in you, in your way of worshiping.
Yeah.
Now, the Lord willing, we'll be having a Bible study this coming Saturday, so remember that, 6 o'clock. And then, the Lord, remember that next, not this Thursday, but the next Thursday, I'll be leaving for Jamaica to be gone through the weekend from the 7th through the 11th. So just keep us in your prayers. The Lord would bless us and keep us and guide us in all things, that we may be able to just try to be a little help for somebody, you know. And if people here doesn't want the word, maybe the foreign fields wants it, so I'd spend my time traveling that way. That'd be fine with me. No problem. We just love the Lord, and we don't hold anything against anybody that don't want to know, because that's everybody's got a right to believe what they want to. The Constitution allows you that. Not the Bible, but the Constitution. It allows you that while we're here today. All right, one other thing, too, before I forget it, I might as well do it now. I have talked with Brother Tom, and Brother Darty, the trustees. We've been talking about, among ourselves, some of us, you know, about maybe building on to the church and changing things around just a little bit. And so Brother Darty and Brother Tom said that we have the money at least to be able to hull up the new part that we're talking about, which would be an addition going that way, and it'll be about a 40 by 40 addition going that way. So you'd have to visualize it when we, if we do open up and go that way, then you would be turned around in these pews. But they will be pews in the new part. We'll pick up some 30, 40, 50, maybe extra seats and a capacity, you know, for doing it. We don't need it that much, but if we ever do, we'll have it, and it'll just basically turn you around, and you'll be facing that way. And the pews will be looking, and it'll be kind of dropped down maybe 1 foot from here, but then come back up, and that building will be 10-foot ceiling, where it'll be a better, you know, and the platform will be built up. We'll have a whole lot more. We were figuring today somewhere around 26 to 28 feet without even, you know, I mean, that's just the back part where all of the musicians can get in and have more room and things. But I always tell you and ask you if, you know, if anyone has any objections to it, then make sure you voice your objections and all to us, and we'll consider that. But as of right now, we have basically enough money to be able to dry it in and maybe to finish part of it. We may be waiting till later. We may leave the wall in totally and do nothing until we get enough money to finish up, and then we'll have to have pews and we'll have to have different things. So that'll be left up to a later date. But all I wanted to do was just announce that to you and see that if you have any objections. What we're going to do is we'll vote on Officer Sunday afternoon, or week from Sunday. All right. And that'll be good, because that'll be when I'll be gone. And so y'all can vote your new pastor in while I'm gone. That'll be all right. But we will also vote then. But we're announcing it now of what we're talking about on to extend the building a little bit, going that way, and we'll talk about that later to you and express it. But if you have any objections, you feel free to voice your opinion, but it will go by the majority of whatever we decide, you know, will be based on the majority of the people. And a lot of people say, well, Brother Dale never gives me a chance to vote on anything. Well, now you have a couple of weeks and a time to express your opinion, and then you can express your vote while I'm gone. So I won't have to worry about it, you know, and so we'll be fine. But, you know, just remember that. And if you want to know any more about what we're talking about, we'll be glad to kind of halfway show you. We've got to go through, if we do anything, we've got a bunch of stages to go through, and it may be a problem. So if we do do it, you pray that everything will go through, because it's a little different than it is just to add a room. It's more of a, we've got to decide the lines, we've got to do everything to know right what to do. So that's what we're talking about, all right? And all like that. So all right, Revelations 5 and also Revelations 3. Let's pray before we... Father, we thank you for your loving grace. We thank you for the day and the opportunity that we could come together tonight and to worship you. And we pray that you would come among us in a mighty way tonight and open thy word, that we may be able to receive the word, because that's why we gathered. To sing and to worship is a wonderful thing. To pray is a marvelous thing, because we can never do that too much. But to hear thy word, just one word from you tonight, is worth us all gathering here in fellowship. So just have your way now. Forgive our sins and lead us in thine understanding and keep us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 5, we've been reading this. We'll go verse 1 through 7, but we won't get down into the main part. So let's just go... we'll have to go 1 through 5. 1 through 7. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, now notice, no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth. Just in case anybody would think he's somebody somewhere else, you know. Was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, and it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now verse 3:14, your Bible right straight across. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we were talking about Sunday afternoon message on the book of redemption. So we see in verse 1 that, we've been through this and went through chapter 4 to show that we believe in an unfolding of the Word of God, our constant revealing. So in chapter 4, John saw first the throne, then he saw one on the throne. All right, that was progressive revelation, our deeper understanding and unfolding. Be like a scene unfolding to you as you keep going through. And then we saw the 24 elders and who they are. They are the 12 apostles and 12 patriarchs, the prophet said. All right. Then the four combat beasts there in the fourth chapter, you know, the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle, and all. And now we read in the fifth chapter that there's a throne, verse 1. And there's one sitting on the throne, and in his right hand he had a book. Well, we talked about what kind of a book is that. The prophet said we didn't have books like this back then. He said really the word there is scroll. So then the scroll was rolled up, and as I said about like Jeremiah describing it, when they were going into captivity or even all the time, they would write out the deeds of a person's property. And then they would write it out, and when they would do it, they would make it like a scroll and roll it up, and they would bury it in the ground or in a cave or something. That's where they, like they found the Dead Sea Scrolls and the thing in caves and all like that. And the people kept up with it, because when they would, like, go into captivity, well, when they'd come back, they needed to know who owned what. So then they would have an abstract deed or a deed to their property as they would come back, and they could unroll that and see what it belonged. That's a description of what it's talking about. But really, that book is the Bible. And the Bible is a book of names. He said, no, it's a book of words. No, it's a book of names. And the words come about to describe the situation or existence around when that person was living, you know, or the people were living. So then the book in the hand of the one on the throne was the book of redemption. Adam lost that book when he accepted Eve's sin, and there was no way for that book to come forth. It had to go back to the original owner, which was Almighty God. All right. So then we find him here now. See, all of it's showing one God. Chapter 4 showed one God, see, one on the throne. All right. It didn't matter if they was around the throne and everything. It didn't matter. Still, it's just one on the throne. All right. Now we see the one on the throne has a book in his hand. And so we know that that throne is the Father's throne, because that's what Jesus said. I go to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. See? All right. So he went back to where he came from. He said, I came from God and went back to God. Right? So he went right back, and John, we described that John sees where Jesus went. When Jesus went up back there with the Old Testament saints, what did he do? He climbed up on the throne and sat down, the prophet said. All right? Then the body's on the throne. The Holy Spirit came back in the form of the new birth on the day of Pentecost to establish the Father's throne on earth, you know, or in earth, in us. All right? See, in establishing the Father's throne, and it's been the Father's throne down through the seven church ages. All right? So then we'll find out later about this Lamb that had the seven horns and seven eyes. It comes out of the church ages, because that's the way the prophet described it. Everything we're talking about, we're giving you what he says about it. But what I want you to think about tonight is that the Bible, he wasn't sitting up there with a Scofield or a Thompson chain or a World or a Nelson or whatever Bible you'd want to come up with. God don't have to have a book to keep up with what he's doing. It's just a record, because the Bible, as I said about it, it's a book of names. Right. Moses, Samuel, David, Solomon, see, Daniel, see, coming through, and it comes down to our day, right, to where in Revelation chapter 1 you see one standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks like unto the Son of Man. That brings it down to our day. Alright. See, then being in our day, Brother Brown said it's not Armand Neville. You can't find Samuel Dale in the Bible. Samuel's there, but not Dale, see. All right. I can find Dale in another place. It is in the Bible, D-A-L-E, but it means Kingsdale, which is a valley, and that's where the word Dale comes from. But our Vale is the same word. All right. But listen, my name is not there as Samuel Dale. Armand Neville's not written in the Bible. What'd the prophet say? What's going on earth at the time of Armand Neville that he's here is written in the book. So this is the hour that we can see our names written in the book. All right, and seeing our names written there, there's also the Bible is a record. We'll get to it when we get a chance with the Lamb when he takes the book, because you can search this record back. You can search back through the Bible. We're over here at the ending of the Bible. But we can go back and search from Genesis to find out why we're in the condition we're in. We can see what took place. See, we can search it back. All right? But we got to be able one day to be able to search it all the way back to see that there's nothing against us. Right? And see, then we don't get into those things of visited iniquities and all. But just remember to show you that there is hope in all of it. The Bible talks about 10 generations, right, for visited iniquity. See? A bastard child couldn't enter the congregation for 10 generations. All right, that's the Bible. But after 10 generations, he could come back. Well, that's a long time. All right. But you know what I like about it, though? The same Bible in the Old Testament, when we get there, we'll cover this, but it says that God visits righteousness to 1,000 generations. See, we've only been on the earth 7,000 years, if you don't even count what we're doing now, to be further than that, but we've only been here 6,000. They can calculate all the time they want to. But he visits righteousness to 1,000 generations. So then truly, before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ stood as a lamb, slain. See? Now watch what I'm getting at. Not a lion. It doesn't say that the lion was slain. The lion is king. Sure, we know he's king of the saints. But this lamb had to die. We'll get to it in a few minutes. Now, so watch. Now. See, the Bible is the book of redemption containing the names of the people that are to be redeemed. Then it contains a record of everything around, and then you see everybody else. But you see also in that record that there will be foolish virgins receive eternal life. They're not redeemed here, but its price is paid for here. But it'll be applied at the white throne judgment, right? All right. Now, as we went through this past Sunday, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you repent. That justification we talk about. All right. See, you receive at that time a deed. All right. And it's a deed that tells you what you own. You know, you get a deed to your property, it tells you what you own. All right. That deed tells you what you own. See? And you can plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Now that's a justification. That's just the beginning, all right? Now. But that's not an abstract. See? Because there's been no way to search back. Okay, now listen. So you get a deed telling you what you own. But then you look around and you say, well, I own this property. But somebody else is sitting on it. Right? Isn't the devil sitting on your property? Isn't that true? Now, in your soul now, when you're just repented. The devil's there. And see, repentance is just to justify you. Page 15, 16, future home. And what it does, it just chops off your past sins. Right. So it gives you a deed. And if you can get that deed enforced, you can receive things. You know, you might not get your whole property, but you don't have to lay around lazily and not get nothing. You know? But when you receive the new birth, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the prophet said, you get an abstract title deed. Which means your soul has been searched all the way back and found that there's nothing there because what? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Not because of how good you are, or who you was born kinfolks to. Brother Branham had to be born again just as well as anybody else had to be. Now he said that. He said he was born on his way to hell and Jesus Christ stopped it. Alright? But see, then the soul is, you're born again. So it searched all the way back. We can take the word of the Bible and go back through and receive the stature of a perfect man because you receive the Holy Ghost as an earnest in the new birth. Then you got to be being born again, Peter would say. So you're adding to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. What you're doing, you're searching your deed to make sure there's nothing against you. Now if you can do that with that part, what about when we get over to the other? Because see, the body was redeemed at Calvary also. Jesus Christ don't have to die again for the redemption of the body. It was there, but the prophet, I gave you the quotes, it wasn't applied. You was cleansed and claimed, but it wasn't applied. 2,000 years we've been dying. See? Because we didn't have an abstract to be, or someone, we had the abstract, but we didn't have someone to be able to tell us about it. the best way of saying it. See, here in the end time when the prophet came, he went back through his, from his deed to his abstract, searched it back through the faith of the fathers, and then the seals broke. And you could see then by the seals breaking that there was hope for a world and a body for us to live in, that we don't have to get us a new one. See, this has got to be searched back. Now, that's as far as I want to go right there. But now watch, see. The new birth, when it fell at Pentecost, it was the abstract. See? It was the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's Scripture. See? So this body out here has been purchased. All right? But now we're applying the Word. All right? See, that's the kind of book we're talking about. That's the kind of book that's in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. It's a book of the redeemed. See? It's the book of the people of God that would be saved while they're here. It's the children of God. He wrote about a book about His children. And He wrote about the natural things that goes on while we're here. But He wrote about what was taking place and where our new birth and what, where we are, you know. That's why Paul could come along and say, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God. See? All right? And see, they were standing in a wonderful position. What if the seals had a broke to the apostles that were in the upper room? Well, naturally, you and I wouldn't be here. That's the best way to say it, so I'm glad it didn't happen. But because of sin entered the picture down through the ages, it brought us into a condition that we lost recognition of our sonship, just as Adam did. Right? Didn't Adam, now remember Sunday? Adam lost recognition of sonship, where one day he could tell a tree to move, it didn't move. One day he said, tree move, it didn't move. One day he could pet the lion, the next day the lion began to look at him. A few days later he would run up a tree, maybe by a lion, because he had lost his right of sonship. See, and that's what the church done through the dark ages. Down through the dark ages of the church, see. Along about the fourth church age, a pure unadulterated word went into the ground, and you come out of there with the Lutheranism, but being Trinitarians, and all like that. See, then they couldn't read Revelations 4 and see one on the throne. They thought there's three up there. They couldn't read Revelations 5 and see one on the throne with a book in his hand. They thought there's two or three of them running around. And so did you and I before we heard of the message. No, Brother Dale, I never thought there was three on the throne. Now, you know I'm not that carnal. And I hope you're not thinking that away. But see, our Trinitarian concept, our thoughts of a Trinity, of God in three persons and things, actually dethroned Almighty God off of the throne of the Word. Amen. And it took a prophet to come back, to bring that Word back, bring back the faith of the fathers, see, to put Jesus Christ back on the throne in Revelation 4:1, then Revelation 5, after Him being put back on the throne. Now we see He's got a book in His hand. He's got the book that was lost by Adam. All right? Now all we got to do is find somebody that can take that book. Now if you can't find somebody, and John was weeping like everything, because he found no man worthy. No man in heaven was worthy. No man on earth was worthy, and no man under the earth. You know, I think some of those things were said because, you know, they got, have you ever heard of it? A lot of them, Casey and different ones like that, talked about people living out in the ocean because the Bible said all of the souls in the sea. You know. See, they say there's a big city out there and there's people down under there. Well, if they do, they need redemption. People talk about interplanetary monkeys or animals coming from some other planet or doing this, that, and the other. If they do, they need redemption. I don't believe in it. I don't believe there's anything out there. I don't believe there's anything down in the ocean. If it is, we put it there. But listen, No man is worthy. Now, we spent all our time on verse 1 of the 5th chapter. Now, verse 2 said, "And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, saying," see, all right, "who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, no man in earth or under the earth." Let me put it as we'll read it in a few minutes. No man that was ever born in sin can die for another that is born in sin. No mortal human then, off of the animal tree called human, man, is worthy. Because all of us were born perverted. All right? Now listen to what the prophet said. That who's there? Let's read just a little bit. Now, most of these, I've asked you to read the breach, because most everything tonight except one quote is out of the breach. So if you read the breach, you'll get what I'm talking about. This is page 93 of the breach, preached 1963-0317, which is in the seal book. The angel's call was a call for the kinsman redeemer to appear. God said, "I have a law. A kinsman redeemer can be a substitute. Where is that kinsman redeemer who's able to take it?" Now, who would you think about in the Bible that would be able or capable of taking? In any form. When Brother Branham said he wasn't, so that'd remove him to start with. But who would you think would be capable as a human mortal? Listen to what your prophet said. "It come from Adam all the way down through all the apostles and prophets and everything else. And nobody was found." Now what about that? Nobody in heaven, nobody on earth, nobody that ever lived. Now listen to it. Elijah was standing there. Moses was standing there. All of the apostles were standing there. Now look how perfect your prophet is. All the apostles were standing there of all the ones that had died. See, John hadn't died at this time, so he's still one of the great apostles, and a lot of more apostles, you know, but I mean the original one. All the holy men, Job, the sages, everyone was standing there, and nobody was worthy even to look at the book, let alone take it and break the seals. Now, where's the Pope? And all these come in at, where's your bishops? Where's your worthiness? We're nothing. That's right. Now, who would you pick? Moses? He said no. Elijah? He said no. Job? No. No man had ever lived. Right now, we'll get to it in a minute and nail it down hard. Just keep on reading, because most of this is one paragraph right after the other, I think on up to about number 7 or 8 or 9 of your reading. This is still on the page 93. He had asked for the kinsman redeemer to step forward, excuse me, if he could. But John said no man was worthy. Now listen, not that there wasn't worthy people there. Now, like an angel, like, for instance, we'd say Gabriel or Michael. But remember, it had to be a kinsman. Remember, John said there, and no M-A-N. Not angel, nor seraphim. They hadn't sinned. But they were in a different category. They'd never fallen. But this had to be a kinsman, no man, because there was none of them redeemed. No man was worthy to look at it. Oh, no, my. Now, he says that an angel couldn't do it. Now, look what he says. The two of the greatest angels is who? Who delivered the message of the first coming of Jesus Christ and the thing? Gabriel. Right. Who came to Daniel? Gabriel. Right. And who came to Daniel? Who came to Gabriel's aid to where that Gabriel could come to Daniel? Michael. You said, well, Brother Dale, Michael is Christ. That's right. Michael is Christ. Amen. We believe that. That's what your prophet taught. Michael is Christ. But Christ is not a man. Now understand what I'm saying. Christ is the anointing. As an angel, Michael, which Daniel said he's your prince. The prince is one that's a son of a king coming forth to be king. It's mentioned in the book of Daniel twice about Michael. Chapter 7, I think. I'm not certain. I've got it written down through here somewhere. But listen, no angel could do it. Now, they had been, one-third of the angels of heaven had fallen at this time. But don't get confused when he says the angels hadn't fallen. And he's talking about the ones that hadn't fallen, because there was two-thirds of them that didn't fall. One-third fell for Satan's lie. Two-thirds remained with God. But they're angels. They're not kinsmen. And Michael as Christ would be the Son of the living God. The Christ down through the Old Testament. But that wouldn't be a mortal human. The closest you could come to a human element of a man would be Melchizedek. The body of Melchizedek. The prophet said it was spoken into existence, used, and spoke right back out. That would be the closest man you could find. But yet Melchizedek in that form of that man would not be a kinsman. That's why Jesus Christ had to come as a baby born of a virgin to come forth to be a kinsman. Melchizedek, the body, wasn't a kinsman. But Jesus Christ, the wound was barred to bring forth a body for God to live in. Alright, there's a lot today talked about, but I'm going to get this point right in your heart. A lot today's talked about, well, Jesus was just a man. You better be careful. Because if you are declaring him, and you're quoting Brother Branham, I know what you're doing, I've got the quotes. But you better quote him right, because if not, you're quoting him, or I am one, and I don't mind declaring it that way. We'll see when this is over with. But listen, if you declare Jesus to be just a man, just a mortal man, then he's not worthy. Because the Bible says no man is worthy. So he wouldn't be worthy. If he's just a mortal human man. Well, no, Brother Dale. We all believe that the body was virgin. Well, if it was virgin, then he wasn't just a man. It was the blood of God that produced the body. Brother Brown said, no man can die for another man. See, they're quoting he's a man, but they don't go on and quote the others where it said he's more than a man. See, if you're not careful quoting he's a man and just a mortal man and just a mere man or something like that, be careful. You're falling back to the doctrine that Mary was pregnant by a Roman soldier before Joseph ever come to her. You didn't know that was a doctrine? That was a doctrine back there. That Mary was pregnant by a Roman soldier. If Mary got that body in any form whatsoever, If she, even the prophet said, supplied an egg, then that would make her, his body sinful, he said. Alright? So then she didn't supply an egg. God supplied the egg and the sperm, the prophet said. And that was the blood of God. That's why I read Genesis 3:14. He's the beginning of the creation of God. God created into a man. Not just a mortal human being as we call him. Oh, but I've got a lot of quotes. Amen. I believe every quote you bring me about Brother Brown saying he's a man. But will you quote the rest of them what I'll bring? And if there's one there that doesn't fit either one of us, we can't both be right, but we could both be wrong. It's got to come together in a beautiful picture. Here we're standing with the picture of it. You understand the condition I'm bringing? Not to try to argue that doctrine. The Bible said there must be needs to be heresies among you today that are proved, maybe made manifest. That's the Bible. I'm glad they're preaching like that, because it makes those that are really the true dig in. See, because the Bible says no man worthy in heaven, in the earth, or under the earth. Bishop, pope, whoever he is, prophet or priest, the prophet said, not worthy. You see, it takes one born of the form of man, but not of man. You know, looking like man. Like I've always said, Jesus could give you a blood transfusion, but you don't have no blood type, so you'd be careful. You don't want to take an A negative and put it in an A positive body, do you? I'm not a nurse or a doctor, but I'm sure that would back up in the wrong way, wouldn't it? So there's no DNA makeup that he has. There's not a man on the earth matches any DNA makeup that the Lord Jesus had. Why? Because God created. There's where you're supplying the lamb. There's where you're covering the lamb. Now I'll go ahead and say this and then get back to it. It doesn't say in the Bible that anywhere that a lion was ever a sacrifice. Show me the scripture. Show me the prophet's message where a lion was ever a sacrifice. He will be a lion one day. But he is a lamb as long as redemption is there. Because that's got to be in the scripture. I'm preaching backwards, but let's go to it. Who was it that John introduced? Did he say the lion of the tribe of Judah? Who did John say it? John 1:29. Did John introduce a lamb? Or did John introduce a lion? John 1:29 and then verse 36 also says the same. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" Verse 19. All right, just declaring that. Drop down to verse 29 now. It's showing you this is about John. This is the record. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Now he didn't say, "Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah." Because that wasn't who he was. until redemption's over, he's a lamb. Go reading on down to see who that is. Well, let's just read part of it. This is whom I said, after me cometh a man who is which is preferred before me, a man now, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John by record saying, I saw the Spirit. Now this is the River Jordan. Right? This is the River Jordan, right? And John by record saying, I saw the Spirit descending upon him like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and by record that this is the Son of God. And again the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. Well, there's your Lamb that's worthy. That's the only man that's ever been worthy. The Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb. All right. So then what is he? He's not a lion, because that's redemption over. He's a lamb. All right? Being a lamb now, what's where we're getting to? Not an angel, but a man. And John said, this is the man that I was told to watch until I saw the Spirit descend upon him and remain. So now remember, John is a prophet. And remember when Caiaphas stood there and said it was necessary for one to die for the sins of the people, Brother Branham said that was the Holy Spirit anointing on him because he was the high priest. Right. So it didn't say when the Holy Spirit was come down on a man. John said, no, he said, he told me when it comes down and remains on the man. So on the River Jordan, John saw the Holy Spirit coming down on Jesus, and it remained on him. It never left him. It remained on him. Why? Because he was the one to be worthy. See, we've got to find a kinsman. All right. Now, to show you what I'm trying to be, and been trying to for 30 years to drive at to get you to see, John the Revelator was on the Isle of Patmos AD 95-96, writing the book of Revelation. At that time, the Holy Spirit had come at AD 30, or 33, either way you want to make it. At that time, he had already had the Holy Spirit for 60 years, and was one of the original in the upper room of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost that gave him the faith of the fathers. But John's weeping. Now, we've got a quote on down here in a while. You say, well, John is weeping because he wasn't worthy. He said, anybody under the Holy Ghost ought to know better than that, your prophet said. 60 years after the Holy Ghost come on him, and he sees man lost unless a man comes forth. He had witnessed the coming of the Holy Ghost. But something was withholding from him even at the faith of the fathers. Something was withholding from John. Because if not, why didn't he say? When the wet forest said, who's worthy to take the book? Hold it a minute. Hold it a minute. John the Baptist introduced him on the River Jordan. And I wrote it in my book. John 1, read it. He's the Lamb. But he didn't say that. He was crying out for a Redeemer himself, right? Because listen, John wasn't denying that he had the Holy Spirit. But John knew that at the time he lived, all of the original apostles had been killed. Even at this time, Paul, coming along with the late one, he had been killed. John knew he was the only one that was left out of the originals. Sure, there was plenty more disciples on the earth, but John knew he was the only one left out of the original. And he knew that even the Apostle Paul, even though he could talk about Jesus being the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and have a greater revelation than any of them, but Paul's message was still prophecy, because they all were dying. John was looking for a reality, not a quote. The Bible, the prophet's message is not just a quote. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. John knew he had the new birth. He knew he was in the Spirit. He said he was. And like I said, he knew John the Baptist, because of the difference in the two Johns. John the Baptist is the one that introduced Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God. But John the Revelator is the one who went to the Isle of Patmos. But see, after all of that, he was still crying out, "Who's worthy?" He didn't just sit down and say, "Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I believe the message. I've been in the message a long time. Now I've been in it over 60 years. That's what John would be saying if we make any matter of way. Somewhere around 62, 63 years. Everywhere you want the Holy Ghost to fall, 30 or 33. But you see, he couldn't find nobody worthy. And when the elder told John, said, "Don't weep." Now, he said, "The Lion of the tribe of Judah." Well, now listen. Don't you think that John knew the natural lineage of the Lord Jesus? The Lion was the emblem of Judah. You go back in Numbers 2 and start reading about the children of Israel and how they camped and how they traveled. And the Lion was Judah. And Judah was the first one to lead off when they'd march, because he was the Lion. And the Bible says, out of Judah would come a lawgiver. Genesis 49 and 10. A lawgiver was to come from Judah. Don't you think John knew these things? And like I said, surely he'd heard the Apostle Paul. But look what Hebrews 7. But watch now. Hebrews 7 verse 14. Well, let's start back up at verse 11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? See, Jesus wasn't after the order of Aaron. He was after the order of Melchizedek. All right. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. Now, who took care of the altar? Levites. Levitical priesthood. Right? But listen to Paul now. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. J-U-D-A there, see, it's Judah. Of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. That's why they couldn't understand Melchizedek. That's what Paul was trying to explain in Hebrews 6 and 7. Was who Melchizedek was. Look at it. And it is yet far more evident that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testified, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Levites is the one who took care of the altar and the sacrifices and etc. But out of the tribe of Judah was to come a lawgiver. And see, in the natural, any form of lineage you want to come down, see, but you got to be real careful. Because it comes down to Joseph. You better be careful, you're trying to make him his father. Jesus wasn't of the tribe of Judah as a natural human lineage. It was a promise because the lawgiver was promised to come. Read Genesis 49, verse 9 and 10. A lawgiver was promised to come from Judah. And Christ sprang from the tribe of Judah. And Paul says there's no mention of him to be a priest. Because there's no mention for anybody to come out from anywhere else other than the tribe of Levi. But yet here he is, one coming from outside of those things, and he's talked about as being Melchizedek. With no beginning of days, no end of life. Now read Hebrews 7:4 and see, I believe that's right, where it says, yeah, now consider how great this man, M-A-N, was. This man, Hebrews 7:4. Trying to find a man that's worthy. But see, Judah, as I said, when they count, they would count the children of Israel. When they would count, there was 12 tribes, right? The Levites was in the middle. And they would try count three here, three here, three here, three here, around the Ark of the Covenant, around the Levites was in the middle. And read that in Numbers 2. Because it gives you who and what tribe and how many people. 50-something thousand was in the three that sat on the east side. And that was the tribe of Judah. And Judah was the one, when they marched, he went first. And his emblem was the lion, as we call it, of the tribe of Judah. He was singing that song, the Lion of Judah. See? All right? Because that's who he is. But you can't keep him as a lion, and John never introduced him as a lion. John knew Jesus descended from the earthly part of the line of the tribe of Judah. But he knew that body was not on earth. And he knew he was still in a sinful body dying. And seeing mankind dying all around him. He was looking for somebody. A man. That could come back to earth. In some way. Or do something. That would redeem. He needed more of the plan of redemption. Do you understand me? He understood the plan of redemption for the soul. But he needed more to bring the body into being. Because he was left then like Job was. Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. But that was after the Holy Spirit spoke to him. Because before then, Job believed in a general resurrection of finally one day. And that's what the people believe in. Now watch it. When Jesus come talking about, I am the resurrection, they couldn't understand him. Why? Wasn't it Martha or Mary, one of them, that said, sure, Lord. When he said Lazarus was raised. Oh, sure, sure, Lord. He'll raise. One of these days in the end. In the resurrection. See, man has always looked for a Redeemer to come to take us out of here physically. And that was what was happening on Patmos. When he said the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seal. John turns. Who is he expecting to see? If he knew the lineage of Jesus, who was he expecting to see? It's like it is in chapter 1 of Revelation. John hears the voice. He turns to see the voice. Why? He knew the voice as the voice of the Lord Jesus. When he turned, he was looking for him. But he looked. There was a 7 golden candlesticks. And one standing in the midst like unto the Son of Man. Brother Branham said, bride form. Right. Now look. John is looking for a lion. He turns and sees a lamb. The plan of redemption is breaking. We won't get on into what that is, because that's another message. But no angels are worthy. Gabriel or Michael, he said, wasn't even worthy. 93 of the seal book. No bishop, no priest. We read that. Page 93, number 4 in your notes. John wept. Not because he wasn't worthy. He knew he wasn't worthy. He wasn't concerned about being worthy. Why would any of us think anything about not being, I mean, that we could be worthy of something? What good thing have you ever done could save you? Come on, Danny, you're grinning. I know what Danny used to do, and I used to talk to him about it. Danny thought, one of these days I'll get good enough, maybe the Lord will save me. I finally told him one day, Danny, you can't get good enough for God to save you. You got to realize you're lost. And you don't get good enough to realize you're lost. It's when you know you're lost, it's when it's the best time to realize you're lost. I've never been lost but one time in the woods. And I knew how to get out, but I didn't want to walk a long ways. So I finally stopped and asked directions. But listen, I broke down on the fact, like Brother Branham said, I thought I was a guide. And I thought I can walk out of this situation. But I might be days walking because I've never been in these woods. I finally seen a man. I passed him by and waved at him. After a while, I thought, there ain't no need in being a dummy, because at least there's two of us might be lost. If he's lost, I'm lost too, and he's standing on the road. Maybe he knows which way we can go. I'll go one way, he can go the other, and we'll send help back for the other one, you know. That's what I was thinking. I walked back up to him. I said, hey, buddy, I'm turned around. You tell me where the road, highway is? He said, yeah, y'all parked right up there this morning. I said, thank you. See, I was going the opposite direction. But you need to find out you're lost. Then you can do something about it. Like Brother Dick says, that man, or Lady Tone said, well, I never did know I was lost. I never did think I was lost. I was born in the church. Come on, kids, just because your family was in this message and you were born into this message, that don't make you saved. You got to receive the same baptism of the Holy Ghost that mom and daddy's got to go with mom and daddy when you're at the age of accountability. It's you and no one else. John wept. What? Why was his problem? Look what he says on number 5 of your notes, which is 94, the breach. 63:317. That's following right after the one that... Let's just read the one before, number 4. The Bible said that John wept. Not as some people has taught it. I was hearing a man teach this one time, said John wept because that he found himself not worthy. Oh, any man under the Holy Spirit would know different from that, see. Under the inspiration of God would know different from that. Anybody under inspiration knows that you are not worth 2 cents. About $6 probably now because of the cost of living. Brother Branham said enough potash to sprinkle a hen's nest. Now that's how much we think. I mean, we're thought of. I was listening to somebody said it the other day, but I remember Brother Brown saying, he said, if you don't find out how important you are, he said, just stick your finger down in a bucket of water and pull your finger right back out of the water and show me the hole. But you see, people are so goody-goody. Yes, but Brother so-and-so. I don't care who Brother so-and-so. Brother Branham or anybody wasn't worthy to take the book. That's why I can't go with that. Over there where John bowed down, you know, and they say that was Brother Branham that he... No, I just can't go that way. I'm sorry, because it just won't fit. Right. But listen. John wept. Here's what I think he wept for. Because if no one was worthy and could open this book of redemption, the whole creation was lost. Now watch it. Here is the book. Here is the title deed. And it will be offered to the kinsman redeemer that can meet the qualification. That's God's own law, and he can't defile his law. Can't defy his law, rather. God required a kinsman redeemer who was worthy, who was able to do it, who had the substance to do it. And the angel said, now let that kinsman redeemer step forth. And John looked, and he looked all over the earth. He looked beneath the earth, and nobody was there. Was nobody. Their creation and everything was lost, of course. John wept, everything was lost. His crying didn't last but just a little minute, though. Then there stood one of the elders and said, don't weep, John. Oh, my. His crying didn't last but just a minute. John thought, oh, my, where is the man? There stands the prophets. They was born like I was. There stands the sages. There stand. Oh, ain't there nobody here? Watch him. It's in continuation of the reading right in the church in the seal book. Read it. Page 95. Oh, he said, John, don't worry. Don't cry. Don't be broken up. Now listen. John, I have you here in a vision. Right now he's going to show him. He didn't say reality, you know, like a lot of people think John was taking. No, in a vision. I'm showing you something. I know you're all tore up because you know there's nothing to be redeemed. Everything's gone. There's nobody could meet the requirement but the line of the tribe of Judah. You know Judas. We had it on the blackboard back there. You know the tribe of Judah's emblem was a lion. Remember the lion and the ox and so forth, the head of a man and so forth. And then watch those seraphims, that word, while at Mark, Matthew, Luke, John, all stood around the book of Acts. Now let's read this other one, then I'll just speak for a minute. Off of a message called Identifications, 1964, 2:16. There was nothing in heaven that could have done it. You know, John looked in the book there, the Bible. We find that he saw there was no one upon the earth that was worthy to take the book. Now, he didn't have no problem calling it the Bible, did he? The book of redemption. There was nobody in heaven worthy, nobody that was beneath the earth or nowhere was able or worthy to take the book, to loose the seals, or to even look on it. And he wept much. Because in this book was the book of redemption. His own name was in there, and nobody was worthy. Then one of the elders said, fear not, for the line of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, and he's worthy. John looked then to see a lion, and he saw a lamb. It must have been a slain lamb. Now read back in Revelation there. It was bloody. It was a bloody lamb. He said it was full of blood because it was a lamb that had been slain. And a slain lamb is bloody, of course, and it had been slain from the foundation of the world. He came and took the book. There was nobody else could do it. Turn over on the back of it and you'll find one priest. Look what the prophet knew. God's servant Job preached in 1955:02:23. What was it? When God became a sinner, listen, takes our sins. See, people just quote that. God became a sinner. Jesus died a sinner. Now, he died a sinner for me. Read the rest of it. He had no sin. See what you're talking about? Jesus became me that I might become him, the innocent Lamb of God. He knowed no sin, became a sinner, that I might be adopted, be made adopted son of God. Amen. There's the picture of true redemption. How he came down worthy, robed himself, no home, no place to go, humiliated himself, brought himself down in sinful flesh, and took upon him not the nature of angels, not the nature of God, took upon himself the nature of man, that he might walk with man, eat with man, slept with man, and die for man. There you are, the whole plan from the beginning, the spotless Lamb of God, there he is, the bread of life here on earth. Now the next thing had to be done, a kinsman redeemer had to be kinfolks real close to the person to redeem it. And the next thing had to be that he had to be worthy to redeem, righteous, a good person, just an outlaw couldn't do it. And who'd be any more worthier than Jehovah himself becoming flesh? A kinsman redeemer. Not a lion. The kinsman was a lamb. Lion is a king. When redemption's over, he'll be the lion of the tribe of Judah. In a lion form, because that will not be, that's king. He's king of saints now, but then he'll be king of kings. Which will be a lion. We ride back into the millennium, it'll be a lion leading us. What? A king leading us. King of kings and Lord of lords, Revelation 19 says. But a lion was never used as a sacrifice. It had to be a lamb. God Almighty required a kinsman. And the prophet said there was no way he could do it become himself. But see, people say, well, he was just a man for 30 years there. And then turn around, the same people, they've got to admit the Word to be true. Turn around and say he was the Word at 13, or whatever the age, you know, to talk to the Pharisees and, you know, the lawyers and things. Sure, we agree he was born Emmanuel, God with us, yeah. But the great revelation, well, where's your lamb? I'm going to put it this way. Out of all of their great revelations that they've got, show me one. And that's going on the net out there for them. Show me one that has ever preached Daniel 70 weeks. Show me one has ever preached the seals. Bring it on. I've listened to, like two lords, I listened to 11 tapes a man brought me in. And not to be critical. I listened to try to understand what the man was saying. I wanted to know what he was saying. I've listened to these people. Show me one. Bring it. You that are out there, bring it. You're listening. My wife kept punching me one time, certain place. She said, that man's listening to your tape. Because he preached right down and all the way down. And today he's denying the very thing he was preaching in that meeting that night. But my wife kept punching and said, he's listening to the tapes. He's listening to the tapes. Why? Because I have a certain way of saying things. And when you hear it, you know everybody else has got a certain way of saying things. There's the people out there listening, but they won't tell their congregation. But listen, brothers, please just tell them the truth. Then maybe some of the congregation can be saved. Be enough of a man to do that. See, because they're out there listening. but they're not going to admit it. See, they'll click off when that starts talking. But see, there's only one that's ever been worthy. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world was Emmanuel, which is God with us. Born this day in the city of David is a Savior, a Redeemer, a Kinsman, which is Christ the Lord. Angels singing at the birth of Almighty God in human flesh. Sure, in body He was a creation. But remember, He wasn't created out of this dirty, and I know you're going to think I'm crossing. The church here knows it's true. Jesus, the body, wasn't created this out of this filthy earth. That'd make Him just as bad as it was to be created out of for Mary to produce the egg. He was created from the original creation that brought the original world into existence. He went back to the original potash and potassium and all of that to bring that body, because that's what He's going to do to me and you one day. He's not going to go out and dig up back up a hole somewhere and there'd be a hole in the ground your body's missing from. He's going to speak and your body will come forth eternal from the original creation. That's why He's the beginning of the creation of God and we're the continuation of that creation. As the sons and daughters of a living God. Come on, Brother Dick. Only one worthy. That's the title. Only one worthy. He had to be a man. He's not a king at this time. And the bride goes up. He becomes a lion. See, John wasn't confused when the elder said, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. He knew who that was. You understand what I'm saying? He knew the lineage. But the surprise was when he looked. Just like the surprise in Revelation 1 was when he looked and saw seven golden candlesticks and a voice coming straight out of there that he knew was the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he looks on the throne, and when he does, he sees one sitting on the throne. And we'll get to it in a little while. To where that lamb come from. The prophet said he come out of the church ages. That's where he come from. Out of the church ages. Why? Because he's been out doing something. Souls in prison, read it, page 24. He describes it the best way he can. He says he's back over here doing redemption. He said he walks around, takes the book out of the hand of the one sitting on the throne, climbs up on the throne and sits down. And if you'll read on over on page 25, right down at the bottom of it, souls in prison, you'll find Brother Brown said, he says, I'm the one that done it. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's just not declaring himself as the lion until redemption is over, because that's king. He's king of saints, right? But one day he'll be king of kings. And this is all finished. Go ahead. Let's stand. 2:11. Filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's flame. And he said, just think about it. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world is our kinsman. Go back and read the book of Ruth. Read the book of Ruth and see if there wasn't one closer kin. Because by our natural birth, we were kinfolks to the devil. Boaz had to wait until that man was given the opportunity to redeem Naomi to get Ruth. In the natural story, that old staunch Jew, he knew that Ruth was a Gentile, and that was a dog to them. And he knew that he took Naomi. Sure, he wanted Naomi and all of her property, but he didn't want Ruth. But Boaz didn't care about Naomi, and he didn't care about the property. All he wanted was Ruth. But he had to wait and let that man. But when that man turned it down, he said, "I'll mar my inheritance if I take it." Read it. Boaz said, "Let me take the shame. Let me take the shame if there's any. I want that bride, that Gentile bride." And that's what Jesus Christ done at Calvary. Jesus Christ at Calvary died for the Jews. But they didn't want it. Sure, there's Jews in the Gentile dispensation. Showing it all worked out. Here comes a little Gentile. He said, "It's not right for me to take the children's bread to give it to you dogs." She didn't get mad and run off. She said, "Yea, Lord." But said, "The dogs get the crumbs that falls from the master's table." That stopped Almighty God. And he said, "I found no such faith. Not even in Israel. Here you got what you asked for." On the way to Calvary, he would stop and pick us up and show that the Gentiles were coming in. Church is fixing to be changed back the other way. We got to get out of here in a rapture. To do that, we've got to know who our kinsman is. Those disciples understood the plan of redemption for the soul, but they could only prophesy for the redemption of a body, because they knew they all were going to the grave. Somebody's going to get the revelation, we're not going by the grave. But no man is worthy but the man Christ Jesus. The Lamb of God. Look at him sometimes if you want to go and look at that movie, The Passion, or what? Passion. Look at it. See how they beat him so much. That was just a picture made. Isaiah said he didn't even look like a human, in other words. Brother Brown said he looked like a bunch of hamburger meat. He said no man could die like that. Because all that man had to do is just point one finger. He didn't have to move a finger. He just had to think it. If he'd have just thought it and said, "Stop!" There would have never been another lick struck on him. He said, no man could die like that man. But he didn't die from the wounds. He died of a broken heart for your sins and mine. And then we think we're something. We think somebody on earth is something. None of us are worthy for anything but and deserve death but the kinsman redeemer. You know what? You know what? I didn't ask to be a Dale. Come on. Brother Ray, did you ask to be a Gabriel? Was anybody here, was you ever asked who you wanted to be? No, you're just born that way. That's the way it is in God, folks. He never asked us what we wanted to be. He told us what we are. Through the sanctuary, gathered in this place, the precious name of Jesus to adore. We know in the gift we bring and the song, the praise we sing will be acceptable to Thee, O Lord. We come to worship, just You, Father holy. Thou art worthy, Thou art God. Easy. We come to worship. Remember Bible studies, Saturday, 6 o'clock. Pray one for another. You're dismissed. Our God.